Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, from the Guns.com radio studio, here we are, hour number three. And as we do, we're going to speak with a writer who is probably the biggest writer in the gun space currently. And it'd be very tough to catch him because he's got plus 1,900 articles at ammoland.com. Joining us again from deep in the heart of Yuma is Dean Weingarten. How's it going, sir?
It's going very well, probably better than I deserve.
Right.
And constitutional carry is hot right now. Yeah, we had Indiana pass their bill out of the legislature, hotly contested, and lots of maneuvering and parliamentary decisions that finally got their bill voted on by the House and Senate and passed. And then we had in Alabama, the legislature just like that passed both houses, went to Governor Ivey and was signed. In fact, I saw that the constitutional carry in Alabama passed 40 minutes after it passed. I started writing about 2 hours after the bill was passed. My article was published in Ammoland, but Governor Ed Ivey had signed it an hour before that. So it was already out of date by the time it got published, only 2 hours after the bill's passage. That's right. Very, very fast. So we now have 22 states that are in the Constitutional Carry Club. The bill in Alabama will not go into effect until 1 January 2023. That's their standard procedure for having a bill go into effect. It goes into effect the 1st of January of the next year, just the way it works. And I don't think they could, they weren't willing to try to justify an emergency measure for something they've been trying to get passed for several years. That's the way you can get it go into effect right away. So it will go into effect on 1 January 2023, but it's already passed, and they're not going to change that, I don't think. So we have 22 constitutional carry states with the Alabama bill. And an interesting thing is that it was HB 272, which was sponsored by Representative Shane Springer. And he also was a captain in the Mobile County Sheriff's Department. But the sheriff there disagreed with his stance on constitutional carry. And because he wouldn't change his stance in the legislature, now in Mobile County, they get about, I think, by my calculation, something like $2.9 million in permit fee every year. And it goes to the sheriff's department. And the sheriff of Mobile County said if Stringer would not change his view on pushing the constitutional carry bill, he'd fire him, and that's what he did. So he fired this legislature because he voted and pushed legislation that he thought was necessary. So Stringer was willing to go to undergo a significant amount of pain to stick to his guns and hold a principled position. And now he's probably having the last laugh because they passed constitutional carry And in 3 years, there's 3 years worth of funding if there's any change in the permit fees. If they get lowered in the various counties, it'll go to the sheriff's department. But historically, what we've seen is the number of permits doesn't really drop. It often stays about the same or goes up a little bit. So this idea that the sheriffs are losing lots of revenue because of a constitutional carry bill is just poorly thought out to start with. So, and Alabama has the highest percentage of people with permits to carry of any state, about almost one-third, real close to one-third of all the adults in Alabama have a permit to carry already. So that's what happened in Alabama. Now, if we go over to Indiana, it was just an incredible thing because they've been trying to get this for years. And what would happen is they'd pass it by a large margin, by two-thirds, 2-to-1 votes in the House, and then it would go to the Senate, and then it would be stalled out because it would be in a committee that was headed, where the chair was adamantly opposed to it. And we've seen that happen before.
Right.
So in this year, there was so much push for the bill by the grassroots that the Republican leadership said, well, we've got to at least let it get into the committee. So it got into the committee. The chair is Liz Brown, who is just adamantly opposed to constitutional carry. She claims to be a Republican, but she acted much like a Democrat in this committee hearing. And in fact, her behavior was considered so egregious that they, after the bill was passed with an amendment which basically gutted it, they appealed to the Rules Committee. And then the Rules Committee, from what I understand, they said, yeah, the rules were violated, but it's too late in the year to admit it into the Rules Committee, so it looks like it has failed. But there's more ways to skin a cat than most people are familiar with. And in this case, they were able to go to a conference committee, which has four members, I think two from the Senate, two from the House. And in that conference committee, they voted to take the constitutional carry bill and substitute its entire wording into another bill that had already passed. And this is it's called a strike all amendment. And I've seen it in several states. It's not illegal. It's just something that is used occasionally, often to try to get around a committee chair that is obstructing what most people want to see happen. And that's what they did in Indiana. But because the people who are in Indiana who are opposed to the bill know all the rules, there were a couple of other twists and turns they had to do. They put it into a strike-all bill. It was, I think, SB 209. But then they had to change it into another bill, which was, I think, labeled HB 1296, I believe. And after all of these permutations, at the very end of the legislative session, which was on March 8th, the session ended at midnight that night. They finally got the bill to come to a House. It had to go through both a House vote, then a Senate vote, and it had to do this before midnight.
Hang on right there. We're coming up on the first break. This article, this got published March the 10th yesterday. So you can find it at amoland.com, along with 1,900 plus other articles. Some like this, some not so much. All by Dean at the biggest website of its type in the world. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At CNH Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible with a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation. CNH Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling, installation, or accessories, go to chpws.com. CNH Precision.
Welcome to the Boom Squad.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. We are speaking with Dean Weingarten, writer from Ammoland.com. And we were talking about Indiana. Are you done talking about Indiana?
No, so we can move on. More interesting stuff about Indiana.
Okay, well, tell me about Indiana. I want to go to Alabama, and then after that, I want to talk about 10 millimeters and bars.
Yeah, okay. In Indiana, they passed the bill, and it passed 68-30 in the House. I mean, that's over two-thirds.
Right.
That's almost 70%. And then in the Senate, it passed 30 to 20, which is 60%. So even though people may have been privately against it, they weren't willing to vote against it in public. Now, interestingly enough, the person, the senator who had opposed it so fiercely as chair of the Judiciary Committee, Liz Brown, at least had the integrity to vote against it in the Senate. So she was one of those 20 that voted against it.
Okay.
But now that it's out, it goes to Governor Holcomb. And Holcomb is said to have been the power behind Senator Brown and encouraging her to kill the bill because he didn't want to have to sign it or veto it. But what it turns out, Indiana has one of the weakest veto powers of any governor, any state governor in the country. There's in 2021, the legislature overrode Governor Holcomb's veto three times. So they already have experience doing this in the past session. And with this bill, if he does nothing once he gets the bill, it becomes law in 7 days. And I think that'll be about the 16th or 17th. I'll have to find out when exactly he got the bill. If he vetoes it, overriding the veto only takes a majority vote in the House and in the Senate. Well, in the House, they had like almost 70%, 68%, and in the Senate, they had 60%. So it's hard to see how you don't get an override. And not only that, even though the session ended on the 8th of March, in the Indiana system, the legislature has the entire next session to override if they choose to do so. They could even call a special session if they wanted to. Not the governor, but the legislature itself could call a special session and override the veto, and they've done so in the past at times. So it's, I believe Indiana is going to become a constitutional carry state probably within the next 8 or 9 days.
Right.
And maybe earlier. And then even without the governor's signature, I think it's very possible he just will do nothing and allow the bill to become law without his signature.
Such a brave man. Such a man of conviction. A guy of conviction. I mean, that's one of those victories where you sit there and you're like, it's almost anticlimactic. Is Holcomb a Republican? I've asked you this before and I don't remember the answer.
Yeah, he is a Republican, but he seems to be a kind of wishy-washy Republican.
Absolutely, he's wishy-washy. I mean, I hate to point this out, but as we're sitting here talking about all this stuff, we have a president who is so inept, he's probably going to get us into a shooting war. I don't know how much of it will actually happen here, if any. I'm not worried about nuclear war because for all of the brouhaha over nuclear war, most of that's going to be going after our missile capability, which is out in the middle of nowhere. We're not going to get, you know, me and you, we're not going to get vaporized. We'll just be hearing about it and reading about it, but I'm not that worried about that.
Even if it takes the power grid down for a few months, it'd be terrible.
Well, that's true. That's true. I don't know if they would actually try that. Probably that would be a cheap way to go about it. That'd be a really cheap way to go about it.
Yeah, nobody knows if all the effects of EMP will actually happen. I mean, it's never been done in a very large scale.
Yeah, but even with that, when they do that, I think the Soviets did that in one of the stands that they used to be involved in, and they detonated an EMP over that, and not all of the transformers, some of them lasted for up to 2 weeks before they popped.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I mean it's in the one practical application where that's ever happened, it wasn't as bad as everybody makes it out to be, where everything just goes out immediately right away.
Right. Yeah, no, and I was involved, one of my colleagues was heavily involved in small-scale EMP testing on the East Coast, and there's a facility there where they would take equipment and they would try to simulate an EMP pulse through electronic means. I mean, very small scales, like a facility you'd drive a truck into and then try to zap it with EMP and see what would happen. And I read some of the results of that testing, and there was, not everything went. I mean, only about two-thirds of the vehicles that were running were seriously affected. And if they weren't running, it was a much smaller percentage. And similarly, not all the electronics went out either. So it's not at all clear that a serious EMP pulse would knock everything out.
Yeah.
In fact, it almost certainly would not. So, where do you want to go from there?
Well, we're coming up on the next break. Let's start with, we got about a minute. So set me up on Alabama. Alabama's become the 22nd concealed carry state
that are in play. We're talking about Alabama. That's the one where Shane Stringer managed to push it through after several years, even after he was fired by the Mobile County Sheriff. But we could talk a little bit about Ohio if you want to.
Sure.
Where the bill there is heading for the governor's desk, DeWine, and he's probably going to sign it, and I just don't know if he's got it yet.
Indeed.
So we're looking at three that almost certainly are going to go through, and that'd make 24 constitutional carry states. And there's two others that are looking pretty good. So we may get, Georgia is actually looking pretty good, and so is Nebraska. So we can end there on the break if it's close enough.
Well, we can certainly try to do it. I can do a lot of selling. That's always good. Normally at SHOT Show we have a breakfast, which they didn't have and I didn't go. So they didn't have that this year because they didn't go either. But the last breakfast in 2020, the publisher of and owner of Ammoland.com stood up and said that Dean Weingarten is the biggest writer at Ammoland.com. Ammoland.com is the biggest website of its kind in the world, which makes Dean the biggest writer within the gun culture. That's not Dean saying it. It's not me. It's the guy who actually sees what gets read, what gets commented on. That's Freddie Real. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing.
Go to mgs.edu.
MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The Pentagon is turning to a new special team to respond to increased demand for new weapons and requests to transfer existing weapons among U.S. allies as countries, including Ukraine, scramble to obtain arms following Russia's invasion. The Pentagon's Office of Acquisition and Sustainment, the weapons buyer for the U.S. Department of Defense, has been fielding demand from European allies, hoping to ship weapons to Ukraine through third-party transfers or buy arms to bolster their own sources. And President Joe Biden called on Congress to join the European Union and the Group of Seven industrial nations in suspending normal trade relations with Russia, allowing new tariffs to be imposed in response to the ongoing invasion of Ukraine. In his speech, Biden said the U.S. will also ban imports of Russian diamonds, seafood, and vodka, denying Moscow more than $1 billion in export revenues. This is USA Radio News. Former President Donald Trump is tied with President Joe Biden in a hypothetical rematch of the 2020 election, according to a new poll done by the Wall Street Journal. Voters were divided 45% to 45% when they were asked who they would cast their ballot for in 2024. Here's a breakdown of some of the other results. 67% of voters disapprove of Biden's job performance. 52% say they have an unfavorable opinion of Trump. Nearly 17% of voters say they have an unfavorable opinion of both Trump and Biden. 46% say they would back a GOP candidate for Congress, compared to only 39% who would choose a Democrat. The Biden administration is now saying that two Korean missile launches in recent weeks were test firings of a powerful new long-range ICBM and warned that full-range testing is following shortly. The test of the missile, reportedly larger than an ICBM North Korea launched in 2017, that was capable of reaching the United States. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. We are talking with Dean Weingarten from Ammoland.com. We've been for quite a while. Dean has been the tracker, the authority on who's doing what in terms of constitutional carry. And now we're talking about Ohio, we're talking about Alabama, just got done with Indiana. Indiana's been quiet. It'll be interesting to see what's next for that, but right now that's sort of just simmering. So which one, Ohio, Alabama, which way would you like to go?
Well, Alabama has passed it, and it's the 22nd state that has constitutional carry. I think Ohio is going to be next, because all it needs is Governor DeWine's signature. And so how long he will wait, he might want to schedule a photo op signing ceremony, since this is likely to be important for him in his primary fight. So there might be a couple days there, but I think Ohio will be coming online very quickly. We don't know when Indiana will be. It'll probably be within the next 8 or 9 days. Then I'd have to mention Georgia, because Georgia, Governor Kemp there is trying to use constitutional carry to prove his bona fides as a conservative.
Right.
And he's pushed a version through the Senate. It's already passed the Senate. And then a somewhat different version has made it through the House Committee. Now, it's supposed to come up to a vote, I believe, this next week in the full House. And if it does, and they are able to have a conference committee that is able to make the differences viable in each House, because the bills are slightly different in the Senate and the House. Then if it passes the legislature, I don't see how he can avoid, Governor Kemp signing the bill, because he's been campaigning for it very hard. Again,
right.
He has a primary coming up. and it's likely to be a difficult primary, and he wants to prop up his bona fides as a conservative. So there you are. You know, I just think Georgia has a good chance of passage, especially since it already made it past the House committee, and that was a big barrier for constitutional carry in Georgia in past years. So, I mean, I don't think we can say it's a done deal, but I give it probably at least a 50-50 chance.
Right.
And then we have, we mentioned Indiana, Ohio, and Alabama. Let's see, what was the fourth one that was so clear? I'm going to mention this one because I just started doing some work on it, and that's Nebraska. Nebraska has been hanging fire for years. And we have the major proponent there is Representative Brewer, and he is he's pushed it. It's been one of his promises from getting elected 6 years ago. He's pushed it every year, and he's never been able to get it out of committee until yesterday. And not only did they get it out of committee, but they passed what Nebraska says is the toughest barrier to get through. They have a unicameral legislature. They're the only state that has only one chamber instead of two.
Right.
And what they say is the big hump for them is to get it past what they call a general session. In that general session, there's 8 hours of debate, and then they have to vote for closure. And to get closure, they have to get 33 votes out of 49 members, two-thirds. And yesterday they got 33 votes, and then three members changed their votes from no to yes, so officially they got 36. So it's well on the way in Nebraska, and I give it about a 50-50 chance as well. We could easily end up with five more constitutional carry states in the United States by the end of this year. Very likely they'd happen before the Supreme Court issues an opinion in the New York Rifle and Pistol Association case, which is about whether the Second Amendment protects a right to carry outside of the home.
Right.
It's hard to believe it doesn't. You know, as Clarence Thomas, probably the best Supreme Court justice out there, said, hard to believe they were merely protecting the right to bear arms from the kitchen to the bedroom. You know, that doesn't sound like it was very likely. They probably meant something more than just carrying it inside your own house.
Right.
And so I have a positive view of that case. And the justices, they read the news and they read what happens in legislatures. And if you have over, by the time the opinion is issued, or even written, I doubt if it's been written yet, if you have over half the state having restored constitutional carry, that's a strong signal to the justices that carrying a pistol outside the home without a permit has gone mainstream. So I think we're approaching that point. It's really interesting. What's fascinating about the Nebraska case is they fought it so hard. And you think, well, what's the big deal? Well, I think it's a core belief of leftism or progressivism that you should never have any limitation on government power. And saying that the government cannot prevent almost everybody from arming up is a significant limitation on government power. And I think that's why philosophically they are very, very much opposed to constitutional carry. But in the states, they can't stop it. The only places that have been able to, you know, reliably stop it are the deep, deep blue states where the legislatures are permanent and, well, permanent maybe not quite the right word, professional legislators who operate full-time with heavy salaries and where they're basically single-party states. I guess you could say that New York has a significant minority Republican Party. I don't think you can say that about California.
Right.
And even in New Jersey, we've seen people, you know, voting and rising up and almost unelecting the Democrat governor there in this last election. So we may be in for a major realignment of the political system in the United States. It may be happening because the left has just overreached and gone so far in pushing ridiculous policies that the vast majority of the population don't agree with. And they're not hiding it as well as they used to.
No. And the most fascinating thing about this for me is that they have the apparatus in place ready to go that would solve the issue, and maybe it would mitigate the bloodshed that they're going to have in November, and they won't do it. It's like they can't force themselves to do it for their own self-preservation.
Yeah.
They sincerely believe what they believe, but
yes, I've said for years that the Democrats would really do what they say and act in support of strong Second Amendment rights, they'd be almost unbeatable.
Yeah.
They
can't do it. They can't do it.
It's their core philosophy.
Yep. They cannot make themselves do that. Hang on for me, if you would. Coming up on the last break, Dean is, you can find the works of Dean Weingarten at amoland.com, where he has well over 1,900 pieces waiting for you there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137.
800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Last time on The Firing Line. From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. We are speaking with Dean Weingarten, and now we're going to go to my favorite topic, which is, of course, you've got an article out here about bears and 10 millimeters. Tell me about bears and 10 millimeters. I haven't even looked at this one. I just want to hear about it.
Okay. Well, what... In the last update, we had over 100 cases of pistols being used in defense against bears. And I think there were about 16 or 17 different calibers that had been used in those 100 cases. Now, the most common was the .44 Magnum. That was about 30 cases. But there were a lot of different calibers. And one of them that seemed to be up and coming was the 10 millimeter. But as of, I think it was June of last year when we did the update, there were only 3 known cases where the 10 millimeter had been used in defense against bears. Now, every case, it had been successful. It had been adequate.
Right.
But with looking through a Freedom of Information Act request that Freddie Real of AMLAN submitted and we got, and plus a growing number of sources, which I have, and found a couple of other cases that were not published in public mainstream media. And I was able to interview people. We now have 8 cases where the 10 millimeter was successfully used in defense against bears. Now, a couple of those cases, it wasn't just the 10 millimeter only. One of them, there was a .340 Weatherby Magnum used and the 10 millimeter pistol, and the other, the 10 millimeter and a .45 ACP pistol. But here's a case that I verified with a personal interview, and I got a name and a place and a date, and it also appears to check out, so it makes perfect sense. So it's included in the database. And this one was in the western, I'm going to probably get this pronunciation off, Talkeetna Mountains in Alaska on August 18th of 2002. So it's almost 20 years old. But Jake Jefferson had his brother had made up a custom 10 millimeter pistol for him on a 6-inch long slide 1911 frame with an 8-shot magazine. And this resort where he was at was on a lake, and on the other side of the lake they'd had a problem with several cabins that had been broken into by bear and ransacked for food. And the bear had come over to the lodge where he was at, and he was trying to get it to leave the area. So he fired 6 shots out of his 8 near the bear, which sort of slowly and indifferently moved a ways away. But it obviously was not successfully hazed. And it came back and it tore up a bunch of empty coolers. Probably they smelled of food residue or something, and then it got out of his sight. So Jake was looking around for another firearm, probably a rifle or a shotgun maybe, but he didn't find any. They weren't any close to hand. And then he heard somebody yelling at the bear from the other side of the lodge. And so he moves toward the sound of the ruckus, and here comes the bear quartering toward him only 10, 15 yards away. It's just too close. He only has two shots left in his 10 millimeter. And he fires one into the back pair of the ribs, and it found out that it missed the chest cavity, but it went all the way through the abdominal cavity to the other side of the hide and the other side of the bear. And the bear immediately ran off. So that's a successful defensive use right there. It was almost 11 p.m. at night in Alaska in August, so there was still a fair amount of light, but it was getting darker, so he decided to wait until the next morning to track the bear down. So the next morning he starts looking, he tracks the bear, and he finds the bear very sick. I mean, it almost certainly was going to die. It just hadn't died immediately. It was on top of a food pile, a beaver food pile, which is just a bunch of green sticks submerged in the water mostly, in the lake, and only its head was above water. It was very, very sick. So Jake had a rifle with him, and he used that to finish off the bear, but clearly it was a successful defensive shooting with a pistol. And the bear was a pretty good-sized grizzly. It squared at 7.5 feet. That's a big bear. And as we are finding more and more in Alaska, Jake had a hunting tag for a grizzly bear. So it was classified as a hunting kill, not a defense of life and property. So then we have quite a skip in time to September 10th of 2015. Now, I mentioned that I was able to confirm the first one in the Talkeetna Mountains by personal interview. Well, this one, the next one, was by Freedom of Information Act. Neither of these had been published. So unless somebody diligently searched for them, they would never show up. So this was in Wyoming. And it included a 340 Weatherby Magnum. So a guide and hunter had shot a mountain sheep, trophy sheep, and they'd left it to go get back to their camp and return. When they got back the next morning, a bear had taken the sheep carcass. And it charged the guide and hunter from about 10 yards away. And at 7 yards, it was shot with 340 Magnum. And then later, twice more. But after it was shot the first time, it was kept going, and the hunter shot at the bear 4 times with a 10-millimeter Glock. Then I believe it was shot twice more with the 340 Magnum, and the charge was stopped, and the bear rolled down a steep slope. And when investigators investigated it, they found the bear carcass and the pistol brass. The guy had picked up his 340 Weatherby mag brass, which sounds very reasonable for people who reload. And everything was consistent with the hunter statements, so that was ruled a self-defense shooting as well. I think we got time for one more
yep.
of these, and that was another Freedom of Information Act request we got the incident, again, would never have been mentioned in the media. This was on May 16th in 2016. And this was someone who was hunting for shed antlers in Wyoming on the Black Mountain at the East Fork Wildlife Habitat Management Area. And there was a sow grizzly with 2 cubs of the year. So it's a relatively small cub. And this bear charges him. And he fired several shots at the sow's feet, but the bear didn't pay any attention. It kept on coming. And as it came up to him, he just kept on firing, and he emptied his pistol, and the bear rolled past him and hit a tree. And he figured he'd probably killed or at least mortally wounded the bear, but he leaves the area. When they investigate, there'd been a storm in between, and rain had washed away all the evidence, and so they never found any blood or any hair, so they couldn't tell if the bear had been killed or not. But clearly, it was a solid defensive use with a handgun, a 10-millimeter in this case, and that was in Wyoming in 2016. So I don't know. I got a fairly extensive one as the next one, if you want to start it.
Now, let's just one in Alaska.
In Amalan, people can look it up. It's the famous Kim Woodsman case.
Okay.
And he killed a charging grizzly. I'll just cut it down with a 10-millimeter. He had a Glock. He did not have it holstered. He just stuck it in his pocket. And he did not have a round in the chamber.
Okay.
And he's hiking up Humpy Creek in Alaska. And he's charged by a sow brown bear from about 10 yards away. And he pulls the Glock Model 20 out of his pocket, wraps the slide, puts a round in, and starts firing at the bear as it is charging him. And he's backing away. Well, he's fired a couple of rounds, and as he's falling backwards, because he tripped over a piece of brush, he puts up his foot to try to ward the bear off.
Yeah.
He fires his last shot into the bear's chest and takes off the tip of the middle toe on his left foot.
And that has to be the last word. Thank you for joining me tonight, Dean.
Yes, and that was successful. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Back again on Monday. Never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. Has been, always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.